Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 2 of season 5 of Victims of Fun. We are live at the Tiki Bar somewhere on the west coast of Florida. I'm not going to say where, because it's nobody's business where I am. But trust me, we're on the Caribbean side. It is a beautiful Florida day. We are outside. Yeah, I've got a nice mojito here. There's some nice tropical music playing from the Tiki Hut area. I'm kind of sitting by myself a couple tables away from everybody because they know I'm recording something. And the waves are hitting quite nice today, and welcome to Victims of Fun. It's, remember, Victims of Fun, you can email me at victimsoffun@mail.com. You can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, and just do a search for Victims of Fun, and you'll see us. Make sure you follow us. You can listen to us on Anchor FM, who are the great people that put this podcast together. You can listen to us on Spotify and Pandora, and make sure that you hit the support button and start throwing me some cash. Because I kind of modified my plans of life and everything. You know, I moved back here, and I got this great idea. I want to live on a boat. I want to live on the boat in the Keys. So I need money for a boat. So that's where you all come in. You're all going to become supporters and start throwing me money. And that way I can buy a boat. Now, think of myself. It's just me. So I don't know what kind of boat I want. I've been doing a lot of research. And a lot of research on boats. And, you know, you have sailboats or powerboats, and they have advantages and disadvantages to each. Sailboat, obviously, you don't really need fuel, you know, unless you have your little emergency outboard engine or something. And you go anywhere the wind takes you, which is good. You know, you have, you know, free fuel, basically. I mean, you'd be stupid to sail without an engine. As emergencies when there's no wind or to pull into the marina or dock or something. But, you know, 99% of the time you're relying on the wind to take you somewhere, which is good. The cons to a sailboat is, at least as far as living on one or anything, is they're smaller, they're narrower, and you don't have as much room to live on them. And you gotta learn how to sail. And you're kind of at the mercy of the wind. And if the wind isn't blowing, or if it's blowing in a direction you don't really want to go, you're going to be tacking into the wind and zigzagging. And you can't just go in a straight line. You know, if you want to, say you want to sail from Miami to the Bahamas, and it's kind of like a, you know, southeasterly thing, you may have to sail north to catch the wind first to tack back down. It's a bunch of bullshit. Sailing is very complicated, at least for me. I'm sure there's people listening and go, yeah, right, Steve, sailing's easy. Well, that's because you've done it a while. But take somebody who's never driven like a stick shift or something and say, yeah, this is easy. They're going to be like, wait, what are you on drugs? So, you know, I'm going to be 53 in June, which means it should send me money for my birthday. And I don't want to learn how to sail at 53. And, you know, you always watch those movies when sailboats are going, they're kind of tilted in one way or the other, and your boat's at an angle, and all the stuff inside your sailboat's flopping everywhere. And I saw Waterworld. I know what happens. You have to hang off the edge of the boat to keep it from flipping over. But sailboats are cheaper, so that's a plus. So a powerboat. There's different types of powerboats, obviously. I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but you want something you can live on, which means you need a living area. And, you know, below and above deck. And you need a head, which is the toilet, and a shower. And, you see, a powerboat's going to be bigger. You're going to have more room. It's wider. A powerboat's going to be more money. And then you've got an engine or two to worry about, and that's the biggest expense of a powerboat is, you know, the engines. And if you're a type of person like I kind of plan to be, where you're just basically going to live on the boat at the marina, you know, you need an engine. I think that's a requirement, because the boat has to be able to be moved, because eventually you have to pull it out to get the bottom painted and everything, and you need an engine if you want to run your generator. But, you know, they use a lot of gas. But, you know, a powerboat's easier. It's like driving a car. As long as you got your navigation stuff, I want to go from point A to point B. I just point the bow and zoop, go. A lot more room, but there's different types of powerboats. There's cruisers, sport fishers, you know, that type of thing. And I want the type of powerboat that I've got some room on the back deck to lounge out. And I want like a little living area where the pilot station is, you know, inside, you know, where the steering wheel and the controls are and all that. And then you take a couple steps down into the bow and there's the rest of your cabin. And Silverton and Chris Craft make boats like that type of thing. You know, when you start getting into like sport fishers and stuff, they don't really have the room. They're more designed for fishing. And then it's like, do you want a wood boat or you want a fiberglass boat? Or a steel boat? Actually, I was talking to somebody who said a trawler is the best thing to live on, because trawlers are tougher. They've got more room inside. They have diesel engines. And they're slow, but they sip gas. And, you know, you can make it to the Bahamas and back from, like, Tampa on one tank of gas. But, you know, it's money. That's the thing. I'm cheap because you people aren't sending me anything. But I just kind of like the idea of just, you know, living on a boat in the Keys and just, you know, that whole Florida Keys lifestyle. I don't want to be climbing no ladder, like, up top to steer the boat, like, from the outside. Cause, you know, I got bad knees and climbing a ladder, yeah, it's going to be difficult. And then, you know, the older I get, I don't want to be 80 years old having to climb up on top of something. You know, that's bullshit. So after you pick your boat, you know, I guess, you know, you kind of got to find a marina. And a lot of marinas don't have liveaboards, but down in the Keys in Florida, at least anyway, there are a lot. You know, just get a fine one you can afford. Some of them can be very expensive with a lot of anemones, and some of them are very cheap with no anemones whatsoever. You kind of want a liveaboard marina that at least has a pump-out station, because, you know, your holding tank for all your toilet water and your gray and black water and stuff, and that's got to get pumped out. And a decent marina will have a boat that will come around and pump your boat out for you, or they have a pumping station where, you know, I don't know if you're assigned a time or a day, and just bring your boat over and, you know, pump it out and go back. But a lot of liveaboard marinas, when you're at the, you know, when you get your slip, they have hookups for electricity and fresh water and cable and internet. Well, some of the marinas are Wi-Fi, and some of them don't have cable, but a lot of the slip fees include that, and a lot of your slip fees will include your garbage, your water, and you'll have like a garbage bin in the front of your slip where your boat's docked. And, you know, I'm basing this off of like the marinas I've been seeing. And if you want to go really roughing it, you can get a mooring. Now, a mooring is when your boat's anchored out in the water and you have no dock. You're anchored out in the middle of the water. You're still in the confines of the marina, but you're not at a dock. And what they do is they have moorings out there that they're usually big concrete blocks that you anchor your boat to. I don't know if you have to throw your anchor on them and then dive down, hook it up, or if they have a floating buoy that you hook up. But anyway, your mooring, the boat stays at the mooring, and they're designed to hold your boat there in the event of a hurricane. You know, they're it's not just like anchoring in the sand. These things are like, you know, 50-ton blocks of whatever they're in the water. So you can live in a mooring in your boat, and you pay practically nothing. I mean, there is a, you're going to be using the anemones in the marina, so they have to charge you something. Because, you know, most of the marinas, pretty much, well, most, pretty much all of them are going to have a, you know, a shower area, laundry facilities, you know, little shops and parking and stuff like that. So you got to pay for all that. A good marina will have a water taxi service for the boats that are moored. So when you need to go ashore to get to your car to go shopping or just to the mainland, you just call the water taxi and he comes and gets you, and that's part of your slip fee. Or you can have a dinghy or a small motorized, you know, dinghy's a little boat, you know, preferably with an engine on it, and then you just get in your dinghy and zoom up to the dock, tie it up, and go do what you have to do during the day. But a lot of marinas don't have, at least from, this is just from what I've been reading, that they don't have specialized docks just for the mooring dinghies. You know, I don't know what that means. You know, you'd think that if they know they have 20 spots, 20 boats moored in a marina, like they have 20 moorings, they should have, you know, they should know that, well, these people got to get to and from their boats, and you would think that they would have a dock for the mooring people to bring their dinghies and dock to, but apparently a lot of times they don't, and it's kind of like hit or miss if there's something there, and I don't want to get in a situation where, oh, God, I got to go food shopping, and I've got nowhere to moor my dinghy, and then, so if you have, if you do that, you kind of, you know, again, this is very basic knowledge on my part. I'm not a sailor, so I'm probably making a lot of wrong assumptions or something. And if I am, just mail me and tell me. But you kind of need to get from your boat to your dinghy to your boat as easy as possible. And, you know, I don't do the ladder thing too good, so that means I'd have to get something with a, it's a swim platform. And it's like usually a teak or a fiberglass platform off the stern of the ship, the boat, that's level with the water or slightly underneath it. That's, you know, where you go swimming, you plop yourself up on the platform, and then you get into the boat. Because if you're trying to crawl from your boat to your dinghy and back and forth, and, you know, the waves and everything, you slip. I mean, you know, it could be a shark there, and you're going to get eaten. So I'm thinking having a swim platform would be easier, because you can kind of pull your dinghy right up onto the swim platform or right next to it and just get on the swim platform and then just throw all your groceries or whatever you're doing into your boat and tie your dinghy up, and then there you go. I also thought maybe having a jet ski as your dinghy would be good, but then I realized you don't have any cargo room. And what if you're going out for the night? You know, you got some halfway decent clothes on, you know. And getting your jet ski, you're going to get all wet. So this is all very preliminary right now. You know, this is not something I'm doing next week. I mean, you're talking like a year, year and a half, maybe 2 years. But that's kind of like what I'm shooting for, which is why I need you to send me money. And I just think it'd be cool to live on a boat, get one of those grills that hooks up to the rail in the back and grill some fish or some, yeah, just a nice relaxing, you know, when you're living in a boat, you're not paying any property taxes or anything. Oh, the other thing is, if you're gonna be living in a mooring, you better have some solar panels and stuff, because, you know, you gotta power the electricity in your boat somehow, and you can't keep running your engine to charge your battery, because eventually you have to go get fuel. So a lot of boats, even the ones at the marinas, will have solar panels on them just to keep things charged and to supplement the marine electricity, because, you know, I have to do the podcast and I'd probably end up doing it from the boat. And, you know, you have TV. But I think the biggest thing would be a refrigerator. That would probably require the most electricity. Though they do make propane refrigerators. I don't really understand how that works, because to me, propane is like, you know, grill. But apparently there are propane refrigerators, and there are hybrid refrigerators too, which are propane and electric. And basically, if you're at dockside and you plug it in, the refrigerator knows it's got electricity and it doesn't use the propane. But once you unhook, The refrigerator knows you've unhooked, and it switches to propane to keep everything cool. I don't understand how a propane fridge works. I mean, I think I understood a little bit reading it that the fire isn't burning all the time. It burns to get some chemical reaction to keep things cold, and then it just goes down to the pilot light. And then when the sensor senses it needs to fire up again, it does it. But, you know, I would just go all... If I was living on a mooring, I would just go all solar. And then I would get, like, a wind turbine. And that would be it. Because, really, the only electricity I'd be using would be the refrigerator. And, you know, charging up the laptop and, you know, the phone. And you can get solar lights. And, you know, and the solar could... If you get LED lights for the interior, that draws practically, like, no power. I have a weather radio. Like, when we had when you have hurricanes and stuff, so I've got this weather radio. And you crank it, and it's got a couple different power sources. You can crank it, and you crank it for 5 minutes, and you get a half hour of power. It also has batteries that you can put in. It also has a solar strip on it. You can put it outside, and it'll power it. And this little radio will do all the, like, the NOAA weather. Where is the radio anyway? It's around here somewhere. It does all the NOAA weather report stuff, and it will actually charge your phone too as an emergency. But yeah, you just crank it for 5 minutes and get a half hour charge out of it. So, you know, solar power can work pretty good. And I would just have, like, if you have a stove, you can, you know, use propane or use alcohol. A lot of people apparently use alcohol and not propane, because something about the fumes, or I don't know, whatever. But yeah, I think living on a boat would be pretty sweet. I don't know, if any of you have ever lived on a boat, just send me a mail. I mean, that'd be cool. I mean, I don't like the idea of paying taxes. Especially taxes that go towards stuff I don't necessarily want it to go to, like to foreign countries, or support things I don't believe in, or I don't support, or I don't think is right. And, you know, I have no say as where my tax money goes to, so I'd rather not pay it. that's just how I am, you know. Living in the Keys, maybe living in, like, Tarpon Springs, Clearwater, St. Pete type of thing. Apparently, a lot of people live in California on their boats because it's cheaper than living on land. And there's a marina out there, Marina Del Rey. And just for, you know, shits and grins, I priced it. And everything included is $1,200 a month, which... On one hand, it sounds like a lot, but on the other hand, the $1,200 a month covers everything in the marina, in Marina Del Rey. It covers your trash, your water taxi, your pump out, your cable, your free Wi-Fi. This is a really... I don't want to say exclusive, but it's a very good marina. It's, like, the largest marina in the world. And it also includes, like, I think once every year or once every 6 months, they'll power wash your boat for you. And you got exclusive use of the marina facilities, like the restaurant and the bar. And all that is just for the residents of the marina. Like, the public can't go in there. And then you get a bunch of passes to, like, the museums in L.A. and a whole bunch of other things for this $1,200. But you have to have a minimum 35-foot boat. And there's the slip fee and then the liveaboard fee. And it comes out to, like, $1,213. Which, if you think about it, if you're living in Los Angeles, you can't rent a room for that much. And, you know, if I was making... You know, if I had a boat and I was making $2,500, you know, $3,000 a month, yeah, I would probably do that, because, that not, I mean, you're not paying property taxes. You're not, you're paying whatever the insurance is in your boat, which is practically nothing. And then that's it. And then you've got everything that you need right there, which is pretty spectacular. But, you know, you're living in California, which, as we all know nowadays, California's got a lot of issues and problems. And I'm sure if you're not wearing a mask inside the privacy of your boat's toilet, the mask police will show up and taser you and throw you in jail. So as of right now, California is a no-go. So I kind of like the idea of living in the Keys, because you're right down near the Bahamas, and it's that whole conch republic lifestyle type of thing. It's very laid back, very easygoing. It's probably a lot of Volkswagen Vanagons running around, and Jeeps and stuff, and people with long hair. I'm stereotyping, but I don't know, it just seems like it'd be a nice, peaceful life, and that's kind of like what I'm into, type of thing. You know? I don't think I'd ever take the boat out. You know, I would kind of be nervous, like, if I was sailing, that I'd flip over. Or if I had a powerboat, I'd get lost, or I'd smash. Like, I remember that scene from Caddyshack, where Ted Knight's yacht, like, crashes into the dock. No, it was Rodney Dangerfield's yacht. Crashes into the dock and drops the anchor through Ted Knight's sailboat. See, that'd be me. I would just not know what I'm doing and just boom. Because it's not like driving a car. You throw your brakes on the car stops. You shut the engines off on a boat, it keeps going. You throw it in reverse, it keeps going until the momentum reverses and it doesn't stop on a dime. So, yeah, and then there's the whole Gilligan's Island thing. What if I'm out there and there's a storm and I end up on a deserted island and you have to drink my own urine? And, you know, there could be cannibals and, yeah, I don't know. Plus, you know, if you're, at least on the West Coast, if you live in California, you always have a earthquake tsunami situation. I saw that movie. It was a Deep Impact, you know. A tsunami hits California and just wipes everybody out. Or San Andreas with the Rock. I wouldn't want to do that. But, you know, in Florida, you have hurricanes. But a lot of these marinas are protected harbors, which means just the topography on a lot of these marinas, the hurricane winds kind of, I don't want to say they skip over them, but there's like a natural barrier that kind of pushes the wind around as long as you don't leave the marina. I know there's a place in Dominican Republic called Luperon Bay. And Luperon Bay is a natural hurricane hole. The topography of the island, where the bay is, hurricanes kind of just break around it. And apparently I've read that a lot of boaters that zoom around the Caribbean all the time, if there's a hurricane, they head to Luperon because they know they're going to be safe. But I wouldn't want to live in the Dominican Republic. That'd be crazy. Right next door to Haiti, which is like World War Z City. You know, you ever see those maps? Go on Google Maps sometime and look at the satellite image of the Dominican Republic and Haiti. They share the same island, but the Haitian side is the right side and the Dominican side is the left side. And you'll see a line in the middle of this island and you'll think that it's a fake line or it's a borderline that Google drew in, but it's not. It's actually real because the Haitian side is completely deforested and like desert, and the Dominican side is still virgin natural rainforest. And it's like the Haitians totally just destroyed their side of the island, and apparently the Dominicans have like a bunch of guard towers up there to keep the Haitians from coming over and like deforesting them. But you know, I wouldn't want to live there. No, that would be bad. Living in the Keys is good. You know, eat conch fritters every day. Conch is kind of like a shellfish-looking thing in a mollusk. That's the word. And they make them into fritters, little dough ball conch meat fritters, and they're the best things on earth. There's a bar in downtown Tavares in Florida called Tiki West that makes conch fritters, and they get the conch directly from the Keys. That's why they don't have it all the time. But conch fritters are the bomb biggity. But yeah, living on a boat. I could definitely see myself doing that. That would be a very peaceful lifestyle for old Steve, I think. You know, I could definitely handle that. And there you go. Alright, so we're going to take a small commercial break, and maybe we'll talk about something interesting when I get back. I just went on a tangent. And, there you go. So I'll be right back. So enjoy this little break here. Thank you. And welcome back to the second half of this episode of Victims of Fun. Remember, you can mail me at victimsoffun@mail.com. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook just by searching for Victims of Fun. And you can follow us and see what all the hilarity is up to. And you can listen to us on Anchor FM or Spotify or Pandora or many other fine podcasting hosting places. And remember, you can hit that sponsor button and throw me some cash, because honestly, what are you going to do with your money? Probably nothing. And you should send it to me, because I have a whole bunch of plans. So why don't you become a supporter and start sending me money? That'd be great. So one thing I've noticed about living back in Florida, I'm sorry if I offend anybody, but people here can't drive. I mean, okay, so like, you're in a big truck, you're in an 18-wheeler, or you're hauling your landscaping stuff around, or whatever, you're in a big, slow-moving vehicle. You're in a two-lane highway. Okay. Why are you in the left lane? If you're not turning, why are you in the left lane? Big, slow trucks and vehicles belong in the right lane, because the left lane is the passing lane for everybody to get around you. Now, I've noticed since I've been to Florida that these truck drivers type people, or people driving these vehicles, do not subscribe to this rule of the road. I personally witnessed, I was driving down the road and there was a truck in front of me and I was in the right lane. And this truck that was in front of me in the right lane merged over to the left lane, and in front of it was another truck, and they both pulled up at the stoplight. I'm thinking to myself, you just blocked the entire highway for everybody, and I think you did it on purpose. If you are in a large vehicle and you're not turning from the left lane, which in Florida there's only certain situations where you do that, your ass belongs in the right lane. Okay? That's how it was in New Jersey. That's how it is pretty much everywhere in the U.S. Get your big stupid truck into the right lane, because you do not belong in the left lane when the speed limit's 60 and it takes you 10 minutes to get up to that speed. That is, I think they're doing it on purpose, because they're in a big truck and what are you going to do? They're in a big truck and you're in your little Chevy Spark. I mean, what chance do you have? Another thing that I've noticed about Florida, and again, I do not wish to offend anybody, but it's the truth, is it's full of old people. Florida, I guess, is where everybody comes to die. Lots and lots and lots of old people. There's old people everywhere. There's old people driving. Old people at the gas stations. Old people at the food stores. And see, my grandparents were cool old people. Alright? They were cool old people. A lot of these old people, remember, they're old goats. Let me tell you. So I pull in the Publix, which is a shopping center in Florida. It's like Grand Union used to be, where my dad worked, or ShopRite, A&P, or Piggly Wiggly, Winn-Dixie, whatever. You know, you go buy food, and it's a grocery store. Big one. They're very famous in Florida. It's a privately owned company, and Publix has the best subs, especially when they make their chicken tender subs. There's actually a website that is devoted to when is Publix chicken tender subs going to be released, and then they give advance warning, and then everybody checks the website and knows that, up this week we're going to have Publix chicken tender subs. Anyway, Publix is known for their subs. Publix will actually make a Philly cheesesteak the correct way, with just Cheese Whiz. So, anyway. So I pull into Publix, and I park pretty far out in the parking lot, because I don't like people park next to my car, or next to me, or... You know, my mom's the same way. She doesn't want anybody parking next to her vehicle, because, you know, there's a lot of old people out here, and they're going to smash into you. So I park, and I'm kind of far away from the Publix, because I have to go in a UPS store, because I sold something on eBay, and I want to send it off. So there's three empty spaces to my right, three empty spaces to my left, three empty spaces in the lane in front of me, and the lane behind me, the whole row is empty. Now, I have bad knees, and sometimes it takes me a bit to swing my legs out of my car, and what I like to do when I get out of my car is I undo my seatbelt, I open my door, and I just kind of gently turn my body to get my legs out, because lifting them, and it's just trust me, my knees are pretty bad. And so I have my door open, and I grab the thing I'm selling on eBay, and I grab my wallet, and grab my phone, and I go to swing my legs out, and I hear this horn. And this old goat and his old goat wife in their car, and my door's open, is literally 4 inches away from hitting my door. Now, he had all this room on one side, all this room on the other, all this room in front of me, and all this room in the back. But he chooses to park right next to me, even seeing my door is open and is kind of sticking into the next parking area. That's where he wants to park. So he beeps his horn, and I'm like looking at him, and I give him the old Italian, you know, with the finger, and not middle finger, but I'm like, whatever. And so the old goat lady starts to roll her window down, and I'm not in the mood. So I, at the top of my lungs, I'm like, you had all this room around me, and you decide to park 3 inches away from my car, and I'm having problems getting out of my car because my knees are shot. I said, why don't you go park somewhere else, you effing old goat? And I yell at them. And I get out of my car, I slam the door, and I go into the UPS thing. I'm thinking to myself, man, you better not be out there when I get back out there. So I do my thing with UPS, and I get a sticky note. And I wrote something horrible on this sticky note. I was going to leave it on his car. But I get out there, and the car's not there. So they either parked somewhere else, or they left in fear. Now, I know, you shouldn't be yelling at old people, because they're old, but, you know... Look, just because somebody's old doesn't mean they automatically get respect. I mean, the Unabomber's old. I'm not going to respect him. I mean, what the hell? But why, when you have all this room, why would you try to park right on top of a car that's got its door open? Why would... And if you're that old, you figure you have a lot of life experience. What are you thinking? And even if you pulled in not seeing the door and you saw it, you can't just like back out or just adjust yourself and go to the next one over. You got to continue to try to park even though the door's open. And I'm like, because that's what they were trying to do. I'm like, are you kidding me? And so you know, you got stuff like that. And then driving down the road, and here's the opposite thing. How many times I've driven down the roads in Florida, and there's this 150-year-old person in their Mercury Grand Marquis. I can barely see over the steering wheel. They're in the fast lane, and they're doing 45 miles an hour when the speed limit is 55. And they're not getting out of anybody's way. Even though people are zooming around them or beeping at them or flashing the lights, they are determined to stay in that lane right there. They don't move. And I'm thinking to myself, well, do they think they can get away with this type of behavior because they're old? Because that logically, it makes no sense. But, you know, you go into the, I was in Publix, and they're all over the place in Publix. And they're all, I heard one old lady complaining in the Publix aisle about, oh, this liquid bleach, I wonder what the expiration date on it is. I'm like, bitch, bleach doesn't have an expiration date. Pick the damn thing up and get out of my way. And I've been at the deli, and the old people are like, oh, I don't want to cut off the end. Ma'am, we can't just open one just for you because you don't want an end. We have to use what we have open. Well, I want a fresh one. I don't want one that's been opened and cut. Ma'am, that's how it is here. We cannot open one special. Where's your manager? Well, ma'am, I am the manager. Well, this is why Publix is going out of business, you son of a bitch. Like, Publix is not going out of business. And I don't know if it's first stage dementia. I don't know if they're just bitter because they're old or they're angry because they're old. But don't. This poor person trying to cut the deli meat, it's obvious to anybody with half a brain. You do not open something specifically because this person doesn't want the one that was opened. Okay? My dad was a deli manager his whole life. I know how this works. If you have your thing of bologna and you're halfway through it, and somebody says, I don't want the one that's been open, I want you to cut some off fresh, you don't do that. Okay? You don't. You use what you have, and then when it gets down to a certain point, you open up the new one. See, what I always liked is, my dad worked at the deli. When he got towards the end, and they had to switch the bologna or the roast beef or over, he would take the end cuts and make slices and bring them home, and I would have sandwiches. Oh, it was the best thing in the world. But, so I know how the deli game works, specifically, and that's how it is. But a lot of these old people just don't understand it. Oh, and the worst thing is, here in Florida, they have this thing called the Villages. It's the largest retirement community probably on the face of the planet. It's actually spreading across Florida like it's cancer. Like it's stage 4 cancer. It's just going, they're buying up property everywhere in expanding the Villages. And everybody in Florida that doesn't live in the Villages hates the Villages, because these are all people who are not from Florida. They're from Michigan, or they're from New York, or they're from wherever, but they're not Floridians. And they come in and they live in the Villages, and it's just horrifying. So the Villages has the highest, now this is the Christian truth, you can look this up on Google. The Villages has the highest percentage STD infection rate in the United States of America. Now, let me run that by again. This retirement community of 60, 70, 80, 90-year-old people has the highest percentage sexually transmitted disease infection rate in the United States. That includes Detroit, Cleveland, San Francisco, Seattle, anywhere. It's the Villages in Florida. I've heard stories of just the most horrifying, debaucherous, lecherous, degenerate behavior from these old people. And I guess it stems from the fact that they know they're old, they know they're going to die soon, and they're either spending all the kids' inheritance money, or like I said, they're just like the hell with it. We're going to be dead in 10 years. Might as well just have fun. I mean, if you follow the news, you always see a couple busted for having sex in public in the gazebo at the Villages. There was two old people who were busted for having sex on the hood of a Kia. A Kia. It wasn't even a Cadillac. It was a freaking Kia. Arrested for. I mean, just... They have key parties in the Villages. Okay, you know what a key party is? Everybody shows up and throws their house or their hotel room keys, well, in this case, house keys, into a bowl. Okay? Male, female, whatever. And you just go in and you pull a key. And whoever's key that is, you gotta go home with them and have sex with them. Those are key parties. They would drive around with different colored loofah. A loofah's a sponge. And they'll have different colored loofahs on their golf carts, because everybody in the Village just drives a golf cart. Or they'll have different colored lights on their front porch. And the different colors signify what they're into. And you can go on Google and see what these colors mean. Okay? I'm not going to do it because I don't want to get thrown off the air. But let's just say that some of these colors represent I like to watch. I go both ways. I like groups. I like pain or whatever. Almost every fetish you can think of has a different color. And if you're walking around with that color, then the people who are in the know, which basically is the entire Villages, they know, okay, this person's into red, which I'm not, but this person's into blue, which I am, so there you go. And it's just, in houses in the Villages are all right on top of each other, just kind of like the people are all on top of each other. But the houses are all, I mean, literally you can... There's like 4 feet between each house. You can literally open your window in your living room and hand a carton of Grey Poupon to your neighbor through the window. Now, some of the houses are nice. They're nicely designed, but there's no property. There's no privacy. And it's all that typical plywood construction, Spanish stucco-looking thing. And certain areas of the Villages are more expensive than others. And of course, the more expensive areas of the Villages look down on the people who don't live in that area. So you have all these cliques going on. I'm surprised that you don't have drive-bys in the Villages. These old people on their golf carts that live like in the expensive area getting shot up by the people that don't live there. I mean, who knows? I was there a couple times, not for anything horrible. But they used to have a car show every other Thursday or something, but they'd have all the old cars there, and that was really cool, and I'd go there and see that. And I had a friend who was a singer that was singing in one of the places there, and she asked me to go with her, just basically to keep an eye on her, so, well, because she was like 30-something, she didn't want these 70-year-old men hitting on her. So I went with her to keep an eye on her, and let me tell you, some of the people I saw there, I saw this one guy, 75 years old, I don't know if he had chest hair implants or something, but he's walking around with his Hawaiian shirt, half open to his stomach, tons of chest hair, huge gold chain, curly brown hair, almost like an afro, obviously dyed, not being gray anymore, he had a Ray-Ban eyeglass thing on, but the lenses were kind of darkish type of thing. He looked almost like a Jewish mobster, basically. And a lot of them had that look, and it was kind of like, what? Did you just, like, walk off the set of Godfather Part 2? I mean, what the hell is this? But it was just... It was hysterical. It just blows my mind that this sort of thing goes on in Florida at a retirement village. And it's just, and driving through the Villages is the most horrible thing in the world because it's full of traffic circles and the directions of where to go are not that good. And you're not supposed to drive your golf carts on the street, but these people are like, well, I live in the Villages. I can do whatever I want, you son of a bitch. And they'll drive on the streets. Anywhere they want. because they're from the villages. And actually, that's another thing. If you ask anybody who works in retail, like in the area, they'll tell you stories of people from the villages coming in shopping and wanting something and they can't get it because it's either out of stock or it's not available in their size or it's just not available that day. And they always fall back on, well, I live in the villages. It's like, yeah, and? But they think that's some sort of big accomplishment, I guess. But you see, to me, if you're admitting you live in the villages, you're admitting there's a 75% chance you have an STD. I mean, so I would keep my mouth shut. But whatever, man. But it's, yeah, so you have all that, and then Florida is just, Florida, the Keys are nice. Tarpon Springs area is gorgeous. The rest of the state, I remember a Bugs Bunny cartoon where he sawed Florida off and it drifted into Cuba and sank. That's what should happen to it. I have no time for Miami. Jacksonville, Gainesville, no. Central Florida, like in the middle, is like meth capital of the world. Like, Breaking Bad, I mean, it's like Breaking Bad on every corner in Lake County, Sumter County. You know, it's all meth. It's all in the woods. There's one town called Lake Panasoffski. And it's like meth capital of the planet. And like everybody that lives there either does meth or deals meth. And it's just, it's absolutely horrifying. But that's what goes on here. And I mean, and people joke about it. I mean, they know it. It's not even something they're like ashamed of. It's like they're very self-aware of the whole meth thing. And they kind of roll with it. And I was saying, you know, maybe you should make that like a touristy thing. Like, come tour the meth labs of Central Florida. You know, make some money. Which, you know, would probably all go to meth. But, you know, it's just like, what the hell? But that's Florida. I mean, it's... I'm not hating on it, but I don't really like it. But you know, I don't like broccoli, and some people love broccoli. I don't like cauliflower. Some people love cauliflower. I love Godzilla. Some people hate Godzilla. You know, what are you gonna do? You know, I love Jägermeister. A lot of people don't like it. I do. Actually, I'm in the mood for some. I don't have any. I have to get some Jägermeister. But that's Florida for you. But there's some nice section. I mean, I love Gatorland. Gatorland was the first touristy attraction. It was pre-Disney. And Gatorland's all alligators and reptiles, and it's still in business, and it's very inexpensive to go to, and it's really, really fascinating because they have loads of alligators, and they've expanded to other things, and they have some of the only white alligators in captivity, and they're not albino. See, there's a difference between an albino gator and a white gator. An albino gator is a genetic default or defect. The skin is white and pale, and the eyes are pink, and they're very susceptible to sunburns and everything else. A white alligator is a recessive gene or just something. The pigmentation gets messed up, but it doesn't have any issues with sunburn. It's got the normal type of scaly reptilian skin, except it's white, and it has like husky dog piercing blue eyes, and they're very, very rare. And Gatorland has like most of them that are in captivity, and they're beautiful. They're absolutely just beautiful. But I laugh because Gatorland's one of the few zoos you can go to where you can eat the animals, because they sell gator jerky. And because the alligator is actually pretty good. I've had gator bites. It comes from the tail. But gator jerky is the same thing. The best meat of a gator comes from the tail. It's all muscle. And so Gatorland is one of the few zoos where you can actually eat the attractions. And I remember going there and I'm like, so if the alligator misbehaves, this is where it ends up. And they're like, yeah, yeah, that's why they tend to behave, because when we get a new alligator, we walk them over to where we sell the jerky and we go, this is where you end up if you don't behave. Oh, when you're a kid, you believe stuff like that. But they have a really cool Halloween thing, because they're like in a, they have a big area and they go through the swamps, because they have a gators that live in the wild. I mean, they're living in the wild, but they're contained in a fence type of thing, but they're living in outside in the environment. And they have a train, the haunted train goes through the swamp, and it's all gator themed scary stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, well, this train's taking us through a swamp and they decorate for Halloween. Who are the brave people that come out to the swamp where the gators live to put all this stuff up? Because, you know, any body of water in Florida could have a gator in it. It doesn't matter what it is. And there's lakes here in Florida, all over the place. And I went to a lake called Lake Weir, which is in Ocala. Kind of, no, it's in Weirsdale, which is near Ocala. It's Sumter County. And it's a beautiful lake and beach water, but you know there's gators in it. And they don't come and bother you, because they're not like sharks where they're hunting you. Gators are ambush predators, and they'll only come after you if you're near them, but they won't go seek you out. You know, unless I guess you're like, you know, your leg gets ripped off and for some reason you're bleeding, or I don't know. But they kind of stay in the grass, but where the beaches are, there's nowhere for the gators to hide, so they kind of avoid stuff like that. They don't like being out in the open. But you know they're there. They're there. And so I'm thinking to myself, well, if they're decorating this entire train ride through the swamp, you know, who's the brave guy that goes out in the middle of the swamp and decorates it for Halloween? You know, just that's just crazy. I would not, you couldn't pay me to do that. I just would be like, yeah, no. Just scary enough. As it is. Actually, what they tell you is if you're on the lake at night, like in a boat, and you shine a flashlight into like a grassy area, you'll see all these eyes looking back at you, and those are the alligators. Because their eyes are very reflective. And, but yeah, I mean, there's stories down here of alligators in swimming pools, alligators sitting on people's front lawns. There's a video on YouTube of an alligator trying to get in some lady's house. Then there's that infamous alligator that lives on the golf course in South Florida. I don't know if they named him Godzilla or Croczilla, but he's like 16 feet long. But apparently he's always lived on the golf course and he's never bothered anybody. And once in a while he'll walk from one hole to another to get from one lake to another. And everybody knows when they see him coming, just stand away and he'll... He just doesn't care. He just walks to his water. And, you know, they say, you know, he's been here forever. And it's basically his golf course. So, you know. And he's never attacked anybody. He just... You know, you can go on YouTube. Just type in giant alligator golf course. And you'll see him. And he's like a dinosaur. But, you got... If you're driving down the road, like heading to Daytona. And you're taking the back roads. You'll see a sign. Is this bear crossing? And you got... you gotta worry about that, but it's black bears. It's not no grizzlies, but black bears are kind of... Okay, no bear is 100% harmless, but black bears are kind of as close to Yogi Bear as you can get type of thing. They're kind of goofy, and as long as you don't, like, piss them off by going near their cubs or injuring them or cornering them, they're kind of just like, hey, you know, what's up? And, you know... You ever see that infamous video of the bear on a trampoline? That's from Florida. They have videos of black bears chilling in people's outdoor pools and jacuzzis. And there's this one video of a wild bear sitting in somebody's jacuzzi. And I guess he turned it on. And he's actually sitting in it like a human. And the water is just bubbling around him. And the woman videotaping it is looking at him. And he looks at her and she goes... are you enjoying yourself? And the bear kind of like cocks its head and just like lays back and enjoys the jacuzzi. And, you know, so it's not like a grizzly bear, which would rip your face off, like, and eat your heart. But that's Florida. And don't even get me started on the love bugs. Love bugs are genetically engineered bugs that eat mosquito larvae. And they were engineered by Florida State University. But they reproduce like crazy, and their blood is kind of acidic. So if they get on your car and you don't wash them off after like a day, they'll start eating through the paint. But there's two seasons during the year of love bugs, and sometimes you can't even go outside because they don't harm you, they don't bite, they're just annoying because they're joined together, the male and the female, because they're mating. So it's like a whole orgy of bugs. But they climb all over you, they get in your hair, and just, like I said, they don't bother you, it's just icky, you know, icky bugs. But, yeah, I've probably triggered enough people. But anyway, so thank you for listening to this very unusual episode of Victims of Fun. And remember, you can mail me at victimsoffun@mail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. By just following Victims of Fun, you'll see me right there. Remember, you can listen to us on Anchor, Spotify, or Pandora. Make sure you hit the support button and throw me some cash, because I need it. I'd like to thank the fine folks at Anchor for being the best podcast software on the planet. I want to thank the fine folks at Blue Microphones for this lovely Snowball Yeti microphone, which is gorgeous. It's the only microphone Victims of Fun uses. And I'd like to thank the fine folks at Seagate for this wonderful solid-state external drive that holds all of the copies of Victims of Fun. And of course, Victims of Fun is exclusively created on an Apple Mac Air M1. So, thank you very much, everybody, and we will see you next time on Victims of Fun. And remember, enjoy life. It's very short, and all you take with you are memories. And to love each other. Good night, everybody.